Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Rock and Rally Tennis, podcast number 63, is brought to you by careerwonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at careerwonder.com. In podcasts 61 and 62, I talked at length about the challenges of knowing when to make adjustments to your game, along with what is always a much more comprehensive process of implementing those changes. In this podcast, I'd like to talk about something that may lead a player to eventually make a change to his or her game. It's the question of how well your play style matches up with your particular attributes and skill set. You know, this past weekend I was watching a men's 4.5 singles match at a local tennis club that featured a couple of my frequent playing partners. One player, who we'll call John, plays primarily from behind the baseline, about 5 or 6 feet, which affords him that little bit of extra time he needs to set his feet and prepare his big windup to hit his heavy topspin ground strokes. The other player, who we'll call Mike, is always looking to be the aggressor and force the action by charging the net. Now, John is a tall player who has a big, long windup and hits hard and heavy ground strokes with good precision. Now, he does not have a quick first step, but covers a lot of ground with his long strides. You know, so for John, playing an aggressive but prudently tempered game from a few feet behind the baseline is a very effective style for him because it's this style of play which best suits and leverages his particular set of physical attributes and skill sets. In contrast, Mike, who is a shorter player, likes to rush the net as often as he can. I mean, on virtually every ball that is in no man's land or shorter, because he believes forcing the action enables him to apply maximum pressure on his opponents. Now, I applaud Mike for being proactive and looking to apply pressure on his opponents. However, I do not believe that this is an ideal play style for him, because when he faces opponents of strong baseline games like John, for example, Mike's approach shots and net game, which are serviceable but not at an advanced enough level to put a real scare into comparable level opponents, kind of works against him. What often ends up happening when Mike plays this net rushing style against good players in his skill bracket is that he gets passed with regularity or put into vulnerable positions because there is simply not enough stick or angle on his approach shots or volleys. In my view, Mike would probably be better off utilizing his quickness and speed by way of a more balanced all-court game and picking and choosing his spots as to when to come to net. But as I mentioned in the last episode, a podcast episode 62, the highly competitive nature typical of most athletes and players often lead them to believe they can continually improve on the execution of the style or tactic they are accustomed to employing, sometimes to their own detriment. And you see this at all levels, even at the professional level. You know, example in my view is Eugenie Bouchard. It was only about 3 years ago in 2014 when she had a meteoric rise up the ranks to number 5 in the world, reaching the semifinals at the Australian and French Opens and finals at Wimbledon. After an injury-plagued 2015 and relatively uneventful 2016, Bouchard is still looking to recapture some of that magic from 2014. She is currently ranked just outside the top 50. Now, I remember the first time I saw Jeannie Bouchard play in 2013 at a World Team Tennis event. What jumped out immediately was her offensive mindset and aggressive baseline game. Bouchard plays from right on top of the baseline. She's typically no more than a foot or two behind the baseline in most rallies. She likes to take very aggressive cuts at the ball on the rise. Rarely will you see Bouchard give up that real estate and backpedal from the baseline. Now, that very aggressive style of hitting the ball on the rise and going for that early first strike served her well in 2014 when she had that great run at the majors and rocketed up the ranks. Now, I attribute much of that to what I call the newcomer effect. Essentially, she was the fresh face on the WTA and really caught her opponents off guard with that super aggressive baseline game. The thing is, players do their homework and make their adjustments. So if you watch how opponents have played her over the past couple of years, you can see they employ an aggressive but controlled tactic. They'll get a few more balls back into play and draw the errors from Bouchard. Since her great run in 2014, Bouchard has struggled to put together a sustained run of good performances. A lot of her matches since then have shown the same pattern. Way too many unforced errors off of balls that many would consider to be, well, neutral rally balls. And if you've watched her matches over the past couple of years, you can attribute much of this to her very aggressive style of play. As I mentioned, Bouchard stands right on top of the baseline, tries to hit everything hard and on the rise to take time away from her opponents while attempting to get in that first strike to control the point. Now, we've seen some great champions build Hall of Fame careers on this particular style. Andre Agassi and Monica Seles come to mind. Both players stood pretty much on top of the baseline, cut off the angles, hit a lot of balls on the rise, robbing their opponents of time, and effectively controlled the points. Now, I believe if you're going to play this style, where you're trying to take everything on the rise and dictate the point, you've got to have, number one, a tremendous grasp of court position, angles, and prudent shot selection, and number two, exceptional control of your strokes so that you can direct and redirect shots with the necessary precision for this style of play to be effective. Otherwise, it can quickly degrade to a feast or famine, hit or miss type of proposition. Now, this particular brand of aggressive play has clearly not been very effective for Bouchard over the past couple of years. In my view, Bouchard and her team may want to revisit this play style and assess whether it is the optimum style for her today, given her particular set of attributes and skills. The bottom line is this. It is absolutely essential to make that honest assessment of your game and understand what your particular set of attributes and skill sets will enable you to do as it pertains to style of play, shot execution, etc. Like most things in life, it's always easier said than done. But as I discussed in Podcast 62, if something is not working effectively, you've got to try to get to the root of the issue and address the cause and not just the symptoms. So if you're not getting the results you want, you may want to take a long, hard look at your game and see how your style of play matches up with your attributes and skill set. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.